faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
It was Sunday, and Trump was coming off a wildly successful summit in Alaska with Vladimir Putin, flying high, doing what appeared to be the historically impossible, getting closer than anybody had to a peace deal between the Euroweenies who run NATO and Ukraine and Russia. It'd be a coup if he could pull it off. But at what price? I mean, just 3 weeks before, the Europeans had been trying to undermine Trump's peace efforts, even saying they'd continue the war themselves. And soon, we'd learn their price, a security guarantee. Zelensky said the words no less than three times in a minute and a half. What kind of guarantee? The kind where Americans guarantee the security by going to war for Ukraine. And by the early morning hours of Sunday, Trump was saying, troops, American troops on the ground? Well, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, how else are you going to secure Ukraine? ABC News reported it. Well, Steve Bannon got a hold of it. So did Charlie Kirk and other conservative talkers, and rightly freaked out. And Trump quickly backtracked, saying, okay, no troops on the ground. We'll just secure the air, he said. You know what that means, right? That's the Air Force, pilots, fighting a nuclear-armed nation in the air. But wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. You got to understand that the globalist left is determined to get into World War III for whatever reason, I don't know. But I've been tracking it and telling you about it since Obama and Hillary were in office. I could get into why they want this, but it would consume the next 20 minutes of this podcast. Suffice it to say, these are really evil people, along with the globalist neocons in Congress. But I'm not going down that path. Here's what you need to know, and you probably won't know if you take your news from any kind of mainstream media or even Fox News or really honestly even Newsmax at this point on this issue. What you don't know is what the evil Euroweenies were doing on the 18th of August as Trump is floating the idea by MAGA and his supporters. Hey, you know, maybe a little troops on the ground fighting Russians won't be a big deal. Guess what the Euroweenies were doing? What NATO was doing? They were flying the equipment we gave them with the money we printed and gave them last year before Trump took office. Yeah, flying it straight into Russia, blowing up a pipeline critical for Hungary that supplies heating oil and natural gas. Wait. So as the Euroweenies sat around that table at the White House, smiling at Trump and talking peace, they, and by they I mean NATO, was flying attack planes into Russia and blowing up that pipeline, by the way, killing over 20 civilians in the process. Yeah, In other words, they were sabotaging the peace deal. The lesson here, you can't trust the Euroweenies. They will do anything to keep this going and to get it up and running again should Trump manage to temporarily shut it down. Well, why did they do that? And I've been explaining this to you for a while. 100% of the time that this conflict has been going on, whenever Ukraine, which is really NATO, folks, if you hear Ukraine hit Russia, no, that's NATO. That's the Euroweenies. Folks, Vladimir Zelensky is a bisexual actor who's very talented at making people laugh and shaking his hips on national television. He ain't running this war, not by a long shot. He doesn't even have the hardware. That belongs to NATO. So whenever you hear Ukraine hit, bombed, whatever, no, that's NATO. So as the Euroweenies are literally sitting at the table at the Oval Office, they are bombing Russia. Well, the foreign minister of Hungary came out just enraged at NATO, saying, what are you doing? We haven't taken any kind of position on this war. You're not threatening us with tariffs or sanctions. We desperately needed that heating oil for the winter. People are literally going to freeze to death. What are you doing? But the American people were none the wiser. Almost none of that was reported by the mainstream media. Well, the Euroweenies knew what would happen next. It's what always happens, 100% of the time. Putin flies right back in and hits Ukraine into brutal strikes, the first of which killed about the same number of civilians. See, what the Euroweenies do, they've taken a page out of the Hamas terrorist playbook. They will launch the drones loaded with missiles from civilian areas. When Putin comes back in, because he's got satellites, when Putin comes back in to take out wherever they launched them from, guess what he's hitting? Civilian areas. Guess what happens? On and on and on it goes. Well, in the early morning hours this morning, the Euroweenies, i.e. NATO, reaped exactly what they wanted to sow. And Vladimir Putin brutally blew up the only oil refinery in Ukraine. That's going to cause them real problems going forward. All of this behind Trump's back while he's pledging a what? Security guarantee. I.e. he's going to trade the lives of our, and because that's what it's going to come down to, fighter pilots in the Air Force to secure from the air the troops that supposedly Europe is going to provide. What's on the table is what's called an Article 5 security guarantee. So if you're a member of NATO, say you're Poland, and Russia bombs you, then we are obligated as a member of NATO, US, to then go to war with Russia. Now, Trump has flat out said we're not backing Ukraine's admission into NATO. But what the Euroweenies are demanding as part of the peace deal is that we give Article 5 protection to Ukraine anyway, as if it's in NATO. And now the Euroweenies are saying, yeah, we'll provide the troops. More on that later. But ultimately, that doesn't matter. If these Euroweenies were already stabbing Trump in the back, literally sitting at the peace table bombing Russia, what do you think they're going to do once that security agreement is signed? The same thing they were doing on Monday while they were all pretending they want peace. They're going to bomb Russia. Russia's going to bomb them right back. Except now standing in Russia's way is going to be some poor guy in a fighter jet with our Air Force. Now, the rest of the deal that's on the table right now, and they are still negotiating it, is pretty good. Ukraine buys $90 billion worth of weapons from us. They're on their own to operate them. And the payment that comes from European-backed loans. In other words, we make money on this deal. We don't lose it. Fine with me. Sell them the weapons. I don't care. But Zelensky was adamant. So was the head of NATO, Mark Rutte. This deal only happens if we get a security agreement. And security means America in the air. Folks, this is a nuclear-armed country. This is not like going to war potentially with Afghanistan or Iraq. This is potentially civilization ending. And for what? Ukraine has existed as a country for 34 years. Anybody know what the birthplace of Russia is? Most people don't. It was 800 years ago. It was Kyiv. Wait, Kyiv, Ukraine is the birthplace of Russia? Yeah. And they've been fighting over that piece of dirt for 800 years. I guarantee you they'll be fighting over it 800 years from now. We don't need to die defending it. But Trump is clearly floating this to see, can he get it past the Steve Bannons and the Charlie Kirks and the base? Just a little air defense, no big deal. But folks, this is nuts. We can't do this. This gets us deeper and deeper into NATO. Folks, this Trump on the campaign trail was talking about cutting ties with NATO, trying to back out of our NATO guarantees. This gets us much deeper in. The Epoch Times quotes Trump from his interview with Fox News. He says, quote, "I think if a deal is made, you know, famous last words, right? But I think if a deal is made, I think Russia's had it. They've all had it. And for a very extended period of time, I don't think there'll be a problem." Problem is, he said this on Tuesday morning. Yeah. And I don't know if he knew that the pipeline to Hungary was smoldering at that point, or that there were 24 dead in Russia, or that the Russian planes were already screaming toward Ukraine to blow a hole in its civilian infrastructure. Ultimately, by the way, Russia again just hit the only oil refinery in Ukraine, took out about 24 civilians, incidentally, in the situation. So, I mean, literally, as he's saying, I think Russia's had it. They've all had it. There'll be peace. They're killing each other. Now, here's the big problem that we have. Only one country so far has actually put up a truth total for the conflict. That's France with 30,000. About a year ago, they said they were going in. They were done waiting. Russia said, cool, we'll target you guys first. First priority ahead of the Ukrainians. And the French, well, they're surrender monkeys. Of course they back down. But how many troops total could they muster? 30,000. Yeah. Okay. At a death rate of 5,000 to 7,000 a week on the battlefield, what's that, 2 months before they're all dead? And while the lying prime minister, socialist lunatic, of the UK was busy telling everyone how great Trump was, all the Euroweenies did, because they're on the verge of getting what Biden and Obama only hoped to get: permission, the American people, to go to war with Russia openly instead of the way we're doing it now, as a proxy war. And by the way, that's not me admitting that we have been fighting a proxy war with Russia all of these years. That came from Marco Rubio, except now we could finally be out in the open about it. Those would be our planes. Well, as Keir Starmer, the head of the UK, was telling the US media that we're closer than ever before to ending this with peace, he was giving interviews on Sky News, in which they asked, are you really going to commit troops? And how many? And he said he didn't actually think they would send any troops. Folks, they want Trump to sign this deal, then they'll renege on the troops. And guess who will be forced to make this thing happen? Again, us. This is a terrible, terrible deal. And our side isn't talking about it. They're afraid they'll lose listeners, viewers, ratings points. So far, just Steve Bannon and Charlie Kirk are speaking out.
You're going to stick American boys and girls in the middle of that? No. We want to be supportive. Remember, we're supportive of this. But here's the situation, is that these Europeans can't be trusted. And the mainstream media is pushing you to do this. All the corporate interests, all the war, the arms manufacturers, big tech, they all want this. You know why? Their kids are not going to be when you hear security guarantee. You know what you do? You look at the table of your sons and daughters. You look at those grandchildren. That's a security guarantee. What's a security guarantee in Korea? Combat troops. What's a security guarantee in Germany? Combat troops. They want your blood and they want your treasure. Yours. Are you at the table? They want yours.
The pressure on Trump right now is immense. One of the largest sources of political donations right now, number two after big tech, is all of these contractors, these companies that came into existence after Afghanistan, after Iraq. They're all unemployed. They do medevac for the broken bodies. They do food supply chains. They do refueling for the planes. Basically, they keep troops supplied. And then they also go in their former special forces and they do off the books stuff. And I guarantee you, as we head in the midterms, Trump's getting all kinds of calls from Republicans who desperately want that money, those donations. And he wants to throw the contractors a bone. Sure, a security guarantee. Are you kidding me? The pocketbooks would open wide and they'll donate the money. And short of it, well, they'll probably write the checks to the Democrats. They've become the party of war. And that's not even counting the munitions manufacturers. And this is the best chance for war that the neocons and the left-wing globalists, who quite frankly, I think part of it with them is just population reduction. It's the best chance they've had in a long time. And Trump is caught in the middle of that. Plus, so enticing with as many wars as Trump has ended, pretty much one a month for the last 6 months. I mean, you talk about a guy on the verge of a Nobel Prize who they'd have to give it to just because begrudgingly it'd be so obvious. This is seductive for him. This is also a disaster. It could end in World War III. Now back to those troops, because here's your problem, and the Euroweenies know this. There aren't enough troops in Europe to feed into the meat grinder at the rate that they need to. There just simply aren't. And the Euroweenies, with maybe a little bit of an exception for the UK, don't really have the fighter pilots, the fighter jets, the targeting equipment, the satellites, everything that they need to fight a pure air war. Because I'm telling you, they don't have enough bodies. We've got both. Even though Trump is saying no troops should be on the ground, I'll get to that in a minute. We're the only ones with enough troops to fight a thing like this and to air back them. And here's the thing. The second we sign this thing, worst case scenario, the Euroweenies just drop another bomb. NATO drops another bomb on Russia. Mainstream media don't tell you about it. Russia flies back in and hits Ukraine and it's on again. And our fighter pilots are in there. Well, guess what? Now, if Euroweenie troops are on the ground, now guess what? And they're doing, peacekeeping that we've all agreed to, including Russia. Guess what? Well, now you're triggering actual NATO Article 5, not theoretical NATO Article 5. What does that do? Well, theoretically, that draws our troops in too. Now, best case scenario, nobody's going to be better at keeping us out of war, even under a signed situation like this, than Trump. Okay? And odds are he's not ultimately going to send anybody. But here's the point. What if the Democrats win the 28 election? What if they steal the 28 election? Trump's obviously fighting, you know, tooth and nail to keep that from happening, trying to get rid of the voting machines, wanting to use only watermarked ballots. And that's a great effort, but we could still lose 28, folks. Don't lose sight of that. It is entirely possible. There are a lot of scenarios. It's not that the Democrats are popular. It's that our side is really weird about showing up. And nobody even knows if they'd show up in the numbers they did for Trump for somebody else. You put a security agreement like that together, we'll be in a war so fast, your head will spin. And folks, here's the thing that quite frankly makes me angry about this. Trump knows it. How do I know that? Because 8 years ago, Hillary Clinton tried to do exactly what Trump is talking about guaranteeing right now. Air Force versus Russia in the air. This time it wasn't in Ukraine. It was in Syria, where the world war with Russia was originally scheduled to take place. And she vowed to protect the air over Syria and to protect the people underneath it from ruthless Russian bombing. At the time, then candidate Donald Trump got it exactly right. He said what Hillary was proposing would, quote, lead to World War III, unquote. He wasn't wrong. And here's what else the UK Guardian said about it. Retired senior US military pilots are increasingly alarmed that Hillary Clinton's proposal in Syria for what she called a no-fly zone, but this is what we would still be, you know, guaranteeing there. I mean, it's literally the same thing. It's just over Ukraine, could lead to a military confrontation with Russia that could escalate to levels that were previously unthinkable in the Cold War era. Again, retired senior U.S. military pilots are increasingly alarmed. The former strategist spoke to The Guardian as Clinton's Republican rival warned, and again, it would lead to World War III. The proposal of no-fly zones has been fiercely debated in Washington for the past 5 years, but has never attracted significant enthusiasm from the military because of the risk to the pilots and the presence of Russian warplanes. Many in U.S. national security circles consider the risk of an aerial confrontation with the Russians to be severe. Yeah, it is. And they go through, you know, military official, Air Force official saying, don't do it. It's a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. John Kuhn, retired Navy officer who flew no-fly zone missions over Bosnia and Iraq, says, quote, if she, talking about Hillary, is not politically posturing, it's going to be a disaster. I hope it's politically posturing. Well, look, folks, Biden didn't dare to do this. Obama didn't dare ultimately to do this. Hillary got defeated. They're sitting there today going, damn, we wish we could have done that. We could have gotten the U.S. right into war with Russia. Now, folks, some folks listening to this podcast are going to say, this is just a negotiating tactic from Trump. Again, Mark Rutte, head of NATO, went on Laura Ingraham last night and was definitive. There has to be a security agreement or no peace. And Vladimir Zelensky has said the same thing. In fact, he's so overjoyed at the idea that Americans will now be fighting his fight that he actually actively offered to give up about half the land that Russia wants, because this has been their ultimate goal. They are out of bodies for the meat grinder. There are literally everybody in Ukraine either has a son, an uncle, a husband, a brother who is either dead or has fled the meat grinder and is hiding out in another country. So they need bodies. And in the absence of bodies, then they need some sort of air war, drone war fought from the air against Russia. Because let me tell you something, folks. The second this thing gets signed, they are going to begin trying to figure out how they can get started again now that they have the U.S. Air Force at their disposal. So, folks, we've got to stop Trump. He gets bad ideas sometimes. This is one of them. A better idea for his time? Get us out of NATO. Get us away from Article 5. Folks, just breaking overnight, and this is how bad stuff is right now. It is very hard to tell these European nations from the USSR. Do you know what Germany is doing now? And the EU? This is crazy. They actually passed a bill that allows their intelligence agencies to spy on journalists, journalist editors, and journalist families and to prosecute them for essentially wrongthink, which under the Online Safety Act, essentially that, you know, that the EU has passed, means you're either repeating Russian propaganda, which is anything that makes the left look bad. There is really no such thing as Russian propaganda, Russian disinformation, or you're offending minority groups. So, folks, I mean, they're activating the Stasi. This is modern day Stasi stuff. Even more terrifying, Canada has just said it will sign on. In other words, you could be a Canadian citizen, a journalist, you're covering a war somewhere online, you get a knock at your door. It is European intelligence agencies coming for you. And you're going to send our pilots in the air to defend that crap? That's USSR stuff. At this point, I can't even differentiate Russia from Germany. I don't know who's worse. We need to wash our hands of it and walk away. And that's ultimately what I hope. That Trump is thinking, well, there's a small chance I'll get a deal here. But if I can't get a deal, then it'll look like I tried when I walk the heck away.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.